Good morning, Northwest Arkansas and everybody out there in America. This is the Rockwell Farms Garden Show, and my name is Mark Rockwell.
And I'm Josiah Goss, and you're listening to Two Nuts on a Tree.
Yeah.
So we've got a pretty good show for us today. What's that hook you got here?
Well, you told me at the beginning of the show we're going to do a hook, so yeah. I thought I'd bring one.
Part of our outline. Yeah, so our hook today is not an actual hook. We use that for moving ball and burlap trees. We're going to be talking about everything perennials today. We have shipments of perennials coming in that we pot up, we grow, and get ready for the season. And, you know, we've had so many cloudy days here. I think it's good for us to talk about some joyful things coming.
Yeah, you know why we pot up our perennials instead of buy them in? Because we can't ever get the varieties that we want. Most perennials are by seed, and they're just, like, cheap and boring. And we have done research and study on what perennials are strong.
Yes.
Okay. What perennials actually have a good show, which are powdery mildew resistant. We've gone through the whole ringer. I've sold perennials for over 30 years. And so we're very, very particular about it. So that's why we want to do the show.
And there's a lot more gratification about growing it in rather than just buying it in.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're in control on how good it looks.
Well, also it helps our employees because they get so much more out of it.
Yeah, they're in tune with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they know exactly what's going on. So also if you have perennial questions, we can answer those here at the nursery or on the show. So, hey, this show is intended to help gardeners, landscapers, and like-minded people. We really care about your garden and gardening experiences. We are here to help people learn, and also we just enjoy it. It's something we love doing.
That reminds me of last week, Joanne with the Master Gardeners Organization.
Yes,
that's a good show.
That was a good show.
Yeah, we appreciate her coming.
Yeah, those are really great people.
I don't know if she's coming back. I think we scared her off.
I think you scared her off.
Yeah, no, but she liked the show. I think it was really
she
good.
Texted me afterwards, said she had a blast.
Are you serious?
Yes, she really loved coming and hanging out with us. So
good.
That's worth something. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Also, if you want to recap on that show, you could go to last week's show. It's just a scroll away from here. And also, if you're listening on YouTube, you can actually comment on YouTube. Leave us gardening questions. It could be about anything that has to do with gardening, landscape, pests.
Yeah, it does matter.
And we answer those on this show, or maybe you have a problem in your yard or something.
Yep.
We answer those questions and comments on this show. So I highly recommend asking those questions. We really do care, and we want to help you out. Also, if you are listening, if you don't have time to watch the show, perfectly fine. We are on Pandora. We're on Spotify and Amazon Music. You can also find us on Instagram, Facebook, and X.
Wow. Yeah. Jessica, are we on all those places?
Oh, I got a double thumbs up. I'm getting good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Hey, and actually, this show, one of the comments led into this show. Can I do it now?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
The comment section.
I like that.
That was good.
Okay, this is Elizabeth, and thank you, Elizabeth, because you're the one that stirred our thinking juices on to doing a show on perennials.
Mm.
Her question is simple. What's the difference between an annual and a perennial?
Oh, good question.
Took me 4 years of college to figure that one out. serious, man.
Did it really?
Yes.
Well, a lot of people get it backwards.
You would think an annual comes every year.
Is every year because it's annual versus perennial.
It dies.
So, yeah, annual will die out at the end of the season when it starts to get cold. So you have to plant them every year if you want to continue to enjoy them. Or sometimes they're a hardy annual. They might self-seed, and you'll get them the next year, like a zinnia or something like that.
But there again, some people don't realize that you have winter annuals as well, like pansies.
You do.
Pansy is an annual here in the southern portion of the country. So you plant them in the fall, they grow all winter long and through the spring. And then in the summertime, the heat kills them. So you have your winter annuals.
You know what's funny? I can always tell whether somebody's from the north or the south, depending on when they come in and buy or ask for pansies. Because in the north, it's something you plant in the spring because they last through the summer and through the fall. But here, it's something you plant in the fall because they last through the fall, winter, and spring.
Yep.
And so, and I don't know why we call people
A pansy.
Pansy's the toughest annual God ever made. Yeah. Yes.
Really, really tough.
Yeah. So negative 30. They'll handle negative 30 degrees.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. Now, perennials, they come back year after year. You have perennial and you have biennial, which is...
Oh, yeah, like foxglove.
Yeah. So those are something or like... what is that one that grows? Mullein? Mullein is a biennial,
yeah.
So it'll come back and bloom every second year. So yep. It'll be dormant, just some greenery, and then come back. But, yeah, your perennials, they come back every single year. So you plant them once, enjoy them forever.
Like our sign, plant once, enjoy forever.
Yeah, we need to put that up.
Okay, we have another one by Jordan. Jordan has a big tree near your sidewalk and drive. And he actually sent a picture of the big tree, and I think it's a silver maple. And this tree is it's actually huge. It's very big. And so what he needs to do is kind of look at the outskirts of the canopy. And we call that the drip line. If you take the outside part of the tree and go straight down, that's the drip line. And that'll typically be where the tips of your roots are. So it looks like right now he's okay because the outside canopy comes down right at where the sidewalk and the driveway is. But what I did recommend to him is that he digs a trench and any root that is coming up on the sidewalk or the driveway, he can cut those. Mm-hmm. What I've typically done is I've just used a chainsaw. I know that I'll ruin a blade, but it's the easiest, quickest way of doing it. And just chainsaw those roots that are hitting there, and that will keep any surface root from damaging. And just go on the driveway, it'd be 6 inches. On the sidewalk, it'd be 4. What you want is that those roots to go under the sidewalk and under the driveway because it's a lot harder to buckle the driveway from the middle. Typically, when a root hits it, it kind of stops and just pushes. That's why you have a crack at the edge and it goes off into the drive.
Yeah, what I would also add to that is when you do that, you might see some stress on your tree after cutting roots like that. It's perfectly fine. The tree will be okay. But I would go ahead and fertilize it with maybe Fertilom tree and shrub food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
That'd be a real good one.
All right, I've got one from Stacy listening to the show. I love it. So informative. In spring and summer, I have such a hard time keeping up with weeds and crabgrass. I have heard you talk about herbicides for my lawn and garden. What is the difference between pre-emergent and post-emergent? Please explain the difference and when to use.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Well, so you have pre-emergent and post-emergent. Your pre-emergent, you're going to be using, that's going to be stopping the seed. Mm-hmm. And so in herbicides with your pre-emergent and post-emergent, I have a lot of people that come up to me asking for pre-emergent and going, I have all of these weeds, I need to kill them, need pre-emergent. Well, that's not going to work. Pre-emergent is going to stop the seeds from germinating. Yeah. And your post-emergent is going to kill what's there. And so would highly recommend starting with a post-emergent herbicide, something like if it's on sidewalk.
Weed-free zone.
Weed killer.
Weed-free zone works
really
good.
If it's in your lawn, yeah. Weed-free zone is great. Weed out is great. But right now for cooler temperatures.
Weed-free zone.
Weed-free zone.
Yeah.
Now you're...
Not all post-emergents will be effective this time of year because right now... you're in the cooler temperatures. So 2,4-D will only work when 70 degrees or higher.
Okay? Yes. Yeah.
So it's just a waste of your money if you're using that active ingredient. Weed-free zone is different. It will work up to, I think, 45 degrees.
Yeah.
Which is very good for this time of year. So it's really pretty much your only option as far as post-emergent. And it comes in a liquid spray, and most of your pre-emergents will come in a granular.
Yeah, now for your pre-emergent, what that will do is that will stop the seed from germinating. So once you have your post-emergent down and it's killed your weeds, you also want to make sure that those seeds from those weeds don't come back to bite you in the next month or week mm-hmm. or so. And so by using the pre-emergent, that will stop the seed from germinating. It will help you tremendously in your garden and landscape. So if you have weeds, again, to cap that, you want to start with your post-emergent, like your weed-free zone.
I tell people to put both of them down at the same time. This time of year, second week of February, they can actually do both at the same time.
Well, you know, I've had a lot of people come into the nursery that are confused and don't know that there's actually weed killers that you can use on your lawn and it not kill your lawn. And so there are, or in your flower garden, there are herbicides that won't hurt your flowers or shrubs, but will take care of your weeds. So
yeah, like over the top.
Yes. Yes.
But that can only be used when the temperatures get warmer.
Correct.
So right now you'll have to pick and grin.
Yeah. Your herbicides work a lot off of nighttime temperature for them to work. For instance, if I went out right now and sprayed, let's just pick a common one everybody knows, Roundup, it's going to take a few weeks or not even work if I go out and spray Roundup right now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that leads us into time to apply.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah.
I'll let you do it.
Yeah. I was waiting for the... Yeah. All right, we've got time to apply. This is a time where you should be out in your garden applying these things to help you out. The first one is High Yield Weed Stopper. This is a great one. 12 pounds covers 3,000 square foot. It has Dimension in it. Dimension works great for crabgrass. Mm-hmm. And so if you have crabgrass, you want to make sure you're looking for Dimension. Sometimes it can be hard to find something that's going to stop that crabgrass from emerging.
Yeah, the only way that you can get rid of crabgrass is to stop the seed. That's why the Weed Stopper by High Yield is a very good pre-emergent. You have to put that down,
yes,
and that will keep the crabgrass from propagating itself. And then in the summertime, the only way you can get rid of that crabgrass is using Roundup or High Yield's
They do have High Yield has come out with Weed Out with Crabgrass Killer.
Yeah, there
you go. That one is a great one because you can use it in your turf, leave your Bermuda or fescue alone, and kill the crabgrass.
It has dicamba in it, and that is a very good main ingredient.
Yes. The other one is Howard Johnson. We're talking pre-emergence right now. Howard Johnson, the big yellow bag. Oh, that was good. Yeah, we were like in sync.
Yeah.
That was good. The big yellow bag. 50-pound bag, 4 pounds per 1,000 square foot, over 12,000 square feet a bag will cover. That one is a great one if you have a much bigger area. Mm-hmm. That's what all of our landscapers come and buy.
Right.
The big yellow bag, because it goes a very long way, works really well in those yards or landscape beds. And so the big yellow bag, Howard Johnson, that is another great one. We also have Five-Star Fescue. Apply Five-Star Fescue. It's an evergreen grass, green 12 months out of the year. It's a beautiful, beautiful shaggy carpet, as Mark would say.
Gives you that Elvis Presley look.
He has it in his backyard. Yeah. It is a beautiful grass. And so also with the Five-Star Fescue, it does not trail off like Bermuda does. So where you put it, it stays.
Right.
And so if you have a problem or have had a problem with Bermuda getting in the flower beds, we highly recommend to switch over to the Five-Star Fescue.
And let me comment on that. I see in the chain stores, Kentucky 31, called K31. And people will buy that thinking that they're getting a good turf. It's not a turf grass. And I'll tell you why. K31 is developed in 1931 by the University of Kentucky to create a clump-type grass that could handle foot traffic by cattle. You don't want that in your yard. You'll have bump after bump after bump. So I know that's a lot cheaper, but it is not. It was not developed to be a turf-type grass, and people have been buying it because it is cheaper. And the way that I look at it is this is something that you see all the time. I mean, really, a guy's life can be going to hell in a May basket, but if his lawn is green, he's happy.
Yes.
And so, to me, it's very nice to have a fine blade fescue that it's a pleasure to walk through.
Now, what I love about the Five-Star Fescue brand specifically is it has five different tall fescue seeds in it. You have, like in your sun mix, you have three for sun, three that germinate well in sun, and two for shade. Yeah. We also have the extreme shade mix. So if you have a really shady yard, you can still get grass back there.
That'll grow in a closet.
I've had people go, oh, don't worry about that area. I've never grown grass there. I threw seed down anyway, and they have grass there still.
Yep.
And so the Five-Star Fescue blend, anywhere you need grass, you can get some grass.
Yeah, it's good.
So
good one.
The other one we have is for moles. Time to apply Fertilome Mole Go, 20% castor oil. Now, this is one that we've talked about. You lay it down in strips. It's pretty pungent to the moles and greasy, so the moles do not like it. You put it down in strips, section your yard, and pretty much just drive them out of your yard.
Into your neighbors.
Yeah, just pick the neighbor.
Just don't tell them what you've done.
The other one to follow up with is the Easy Mole Trap. These are mole traps that you can, well, essentially what you do is you find a tunnel. Yep. In your yard, you push it down. If you're not sure which one is an active tunnel, push them down. Go out the next morning and see which one has raised back
they'll be
up.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to tell if that's a one that the moles frequent. You'll basically just step on this thing, come out the next day.
Yeah, and you set it with your foot. And that's the really nice thing about it, because the other mole traps you'd have to pull up. And they're actually, for one thing, they're dangerous. Secondly, they're hard to pull up. Yeah. I never like those because you have them in your lawn, and if, especially if you have a kid or dog, they put their hand under there, they're going to get spikes.
Yeah, you don't want to put a bear trap this in your yard.
Yeah, this is extremely safe.
Yeah. So this was great. You just step on it, and it's set. And you come out and pull it up, and you can just dispose of the mole. Mm-hmm. The other one we've got is the Gonzo Sonic Spike for moles. The reason we're talking about moles is because it's such a problem, especially we've had snow thaw. Mm-hmm. The ground is really soft, especially with rain, things of that
sort. And this time of year, they're very active.
Very, 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 very active. And so they're looking for worms, grubs, and whatnot. Yep. And so the Gonzo is a solar-powered sonic buzz that the moles just can't stand. It'll take them about a day or so to get used to that, or to get away. Not used to. They do not get used to the noise.
No.
But get repel from that noise. But moles have very acute hearing.
Yeah.
So if something is very high-pitched, that's how they find their food. This will drive them out of their out of your yard and away from things that you don't want. We've used these quite a bit. Yeah,
the best thing, this is the way we got rid of moles in our test area, is at first we used the mole go and we drove them out. Now, we did have a couple that were persistent, came in, and that's when we used the the Easy Mole Traps.
Yes.
That's for the here and there.
Yeah.
But once you get them out of your yard, you put down that Gonzo mole repellers. I think we have three of them lining our property line.
Yes.
Haven't had a problem since. No. It's phenomenal. I love that. I love the product.
Also, time to apply things you should be doing in your garden. Planting trees and woody shrubs. Now is a great time. A lot of people don't know that. We all think spring planting, although spring is a great time to plant trees and shrubs. Fall and winter is even better. You have a little bit less stress on your trees. The roots are really going at it and producing the most. I'm trying not to say colonizing.
Oh, my word. You love it.
Yeah, I said it anyway.
But didn't you put our trees on sale?
Colonizing. Yes. All of our trees right now are 20% off. Our shade trees, ornamental trees, evergreen trees are all 20% off right here through
the
month.
We need the money. Pay for the show.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
No, it's an early bird special. I mean, the month of February, we're putting our trees on sale. Why not? Yeah. I mean, people come out here when it's 30 to 40 degrees. Why not reward them?
Well, the great thing about here's what most people like about our tree sales, because if you come and purchase trees, you don't have to get them planted right then and then, then at that time. We can also hold on to those trees up to a month to two months, correct?
Yeah, but I wouldn't. I mean, now's the best time to plant trees.
Now's
but
a great time.
If you're
time.
Building your house, that's fine, but I would definitely have them planted now.
Yep, so.
All right.
Time to plant trees. That concludes time to apply. So, all right. We've got perennials.
I want to get into
I'm pretty excited about
it. I love perennials.
So we have gone through and ordered all the perennials that we really favor.
Our favorites.
Mark has been doing this for over 30 years.
Yep, way too long.
Over 30 years.
I know, man. I know.
And so here at the nursery, we have really found what does well here, what does not do well here.
Yeah.
We do not sell what does not do well here.
Yeah, we grow so many perennials, this will probably be two shows.
And you know what? Yes, I would agree with that, because this list is only, a third of what we actually have.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be splitting this up over the course of over some time.
Well, let's get started.
Yeah.
You want to do the first one, Rose Malile?
Yeah.
Alcea.
Is it Alcea or Alclea?
I don't know. Alcea.
Alcea. Alcea Rosia.
The Hollyhock.
Fiesta time. Yes.
I love the Hollyhock.
This is Hollyhock.
Hollyhock is an old-time favorite of mine. You see him. It's been an old-time favorite in any perennial garden. You always see him. You know, grandma loves the Hollyhocks. I love Hollyhocks.
Now, this Hollyhock gets about 2 to 3 foot tall and has that beautiful cone that rises up. Now, it also has its bicolor of pink, so different flavors of pink in the same bloom, and it is just beautiful in the garden.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
And it doesn't get too big. Some of the Hollyhocks will get 3 to 4 foot.
Yeah.
This one will not tump over. That's why I like this one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great one.
Elfin ears. I like the upright elfin ears.
Yeah. So now this is not technically a perennial. You can overwinter this inside of your house, but it's on our list, so we're going to talk about it because this is our favorite. Yeah. Now, we have had customers that go, hey, I just threw some heavy mulch over it, about 8 inches, and it came back the next year.
Right. Or you could pile a bunch of leaves on it. Yes.
Yes.
As long as you don't water it, it will rot out during the wintertime.
Correct.
If it's in a wet location.
Yeah. Any of your bulbs or tubers, they do not like wet through those colder months. Yeah, they sure will rot out.
Yeah, but I love the uprights because typically elfin ear will come and it droops over, hence it being an elfin ear. But these are kind of almost straight up, and it really is different than what you normally see.
Yeah.
And they'll be, 5 to 6 foot tall, so it has a very nice showing.
I planted these on both sides of the sidewalk last year and was overwhelmed by the foliage trying to get in the house. So I'll redo that next year.
But put them in the wrong place.
But man, it was awesome. All of our guests and everybody that came up, even myself.
It's a showpiece.
Walking up to the front door, it was like going through a jungle to get to the front door. Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
It's kind of super cool.
It was great.
Yep.
So upright elephant ear. You know, the next one is we do have a good collection of native plants.
Yeah, Asclepias tuberoso. And Joanne mentioned that last week.
Yes. Yeah, she did. Nurseries are getting better about carrying more native plants. We've always kind of carried a good variety of native plants. Mm-hmm. But tuberosa, milkweed, or butterfly weed.
Yes.
We have the yellow and the good old-fashioned orange.
Yep.
And so the Hello Yellow, though, is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love that variety.
And the milkweed is it's a very interesting plant because you'll have different milkweeds from up north all the way to down south in America.
Yeah.
So there'll be different colors. And so we have the orange one grows native here in northwest Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yeah. The yellow one grows more northern. And then you have other tinges in the south. But my point is the monarch butterfly will start off in Canada and it feeds on that milkweed all the way down to Mexico.
Yeah.
And there'll be millions of monarch butterflies in one location in Mexico. It's just a sight to see. It's almost like a tourist attraction.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. And it takes, I believe it takes 3 or 4 generations of the butterfly, monarch butterfly to come from Mexico all the way into Canada. But when it comes from Canada to Mexico, it's all one generation.
Wow.
Yeah. Monarch butterfly is very, very, very fascinating.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one is a stilby. I love stilby.
It's a good shade plant.
It is great for shade. Can tolerate a little bit more sun, but great for shade, especially if you're trying to get color in an area. Now, this one does great in a little bit more wet shade and dry shade. You do have different types of shade. Dry shade it can even handle, but it'll have these beautiful, it's like fluffy, beautiful bloom that comes up, and it stands alone.
It'll get about 20 inches, and the one that I really wanted to highlight was the chocolate shogun.
Shogun. No, it is shogun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chocolate shogun, because it has the dark foliage, and then it has a pink bloom on top of it, so it's a very good contrast.
Yes.
And in the shade, it's very hard to find color in the shade.
Yes.
So what I recommend people do, because a lot of times they just have hostas, all right?
Yeah.
We'll talk about hostas. Yep. But especially with that dark foliage, it looks very good with the bright foliage of a hosta, because a hosta will typically be your bright yellow, white, and green.
Yeah.
And then when you have that chocolate foliage up on it, and then the pink bloom is just a bonus.
So I love this one as a backdrop to a shade garden flower bed. Mm-hmm. So like up against a house or a rail or maybe on the backside of a path, because this makes such a beautiful backdrop with the flowers coming up and then the darker foliage. It's such a great contrast to anything, and I mean anything you put in front of it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, we're still in the seas as far as Latin's concerned. I did that so we'd stay on track.
So maybe we should. Yes. So we do have some cannas coming in. There are
cannabis?
Cannabis. We do not have cannabis coming in.
Cannas.
No. Canna lilies. Not calla lilies. Yeah. Don't get those confused. Canna lilies. And so there are some perennial varieties, especially the tall red one. Mm. It gets about 4 or 5. I've even seen this sometimes at 6 foot tall. Has a beautiful red lily. Similar, the flower on it is similar to almost like a hollyhock, the way that cones up, but it's not.
And then you have the Praetoria, which is a variegated foliage. It'd be yellow and green, and then it has this bloom on it. I think the bloom is what? Orange. Yes.
Now these are
orange
ones...
is my favorite. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I love orange flowers because they are so vivid and you can see them forever.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So when it comes to cannas, my favorite, and cannas will have the very vivid colors. Okay. So their orange is very vivid orange, or their red is very vivid red.
Yes. Yeah. Now, these are a great way to get something a little bit more tropical feel in your landscape. Now,
that has height.
We do recommend still mulching these pretty heavy over the winter, or maybe pulling up the tubers or the bulbs and wintering them over, just like the elephant ear. But these you can mulch over deep and enjoy them the next year.
A lot of people put them in pots. Around their pool or something of that
and
nature.
Bring them in the garage through the winter.
And then they'll dig them up and then they'll plant them the next year.
Yeah.
Because it looks fabulous. They grow probably 3 to 4 foot tall, and it just really is outstanding color for your summer event.
Now, technically, they're not a true perennial here, but we're including it in the list.
Yeah. Campanula, that is the balloon flower.
Yeah.
I like the balloon flower.
Balloon or bell flower, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Because... one's different. I mean, it comes up and it'll look like a balloon, and then it goes, boop, pops open, and then you see all the petals.
So this variety is the Tachyon Blue. It's almost a truer blue, beautiful, well, purple, but almost beautiful blue in the garden if you're trying to get that in there. It's almost a true blue.
And it's only 16 to 20 inches to where it doesn't fall over. A lot of the bell flowers would fall over, and this one doesn't.
Yeah. Didn't you have a pollination thing happen at the nursery?
Oh, you hear that story?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yeah. Back in Memphis when I first started, I had blue bell flowers right next to white bell flowers. And so I didn't think anything of it. And then I noticed later in the season, I had one come up and it was blue with white streaks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cross-pollinated.
They cross-pollinated. And I thought, wow, that's super cool. I might be onto something. Well, next thing I know, someone bought it and I didn't have it no more. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
Oh, no.
Probably should put sold on it or something.
Well, why don't we just, try that here at the nursery?
It was really outstanding. I was very proud of myself for that accident. That had nothing to do with it.
Coreopsis. Coreopsis.
Oh, yeah, these are one of my favorites.
Love it. So this is a great full sun flower that will produces in mid-spring to early summer.
Yeah.
And so you have a good bloom time, and it'll still throw blooms on after that.
Oh, it'll bloom all the way to frost. Yeah. It starts late spring, and it'll bloom all the way to frost. And early sunrise is the earliest of them all.
Makes kind of a nice, low, poofy bush covered in flowers. And there's different varieties. One of those varieties is Early Sunrise. This one gets about 18 inches tall.
And you can't burn it out. It loves the hot, hot heat.
Very heat resistant.
Hot, hot, hot.
Yes. This one also blooms all summer. Also great for deadheading. So if you want to get a big bloom out of it again, you can deadhead this one, and it does well.
In most coreopsis, they'll be yellow, but I wanted to call attention to this one. It's called Solar Fancy. It's a cherry red flowers with bright yellow edges. It's a new variety to us, and I thought that that would just be really outstanding.
I think I picked that one out.
Did you? I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets 18 to 20 inches, and any time that you can have mixed colors, like your cherry up against the yellow, it's an outstanding plant.
When we order, we have a lot of fun just going through these.
Oh, it's an exciting catalogs. Time. I love ordering.
It is such a good time because it's kind of at the end of the season when things are kind of dull and everything, so it gets you excited for the spring.
Then you have your Little Bang series. It has a smaller flower, and the Little Bang, I think we got red, which gets, again, 18 to 20 inches, and it'll have a red flower to it. But it's kind of neat because it has a whole bunch of flowers in one little cluster, like the Uptick Red. Dallas Burma, ice plant.
Yep.
Ice plant.
You talk about this one.
Oh, I like it because it's a succulent plant. It only gets about 6 inches tall, and it'll bloom all summer long. And this is another one that can take the full, hot, burning sun.
Yes.
It looks really good. As a matter of fact, you can put it in with your other succulents, and it'll be the one succulent that blooms all summer long.
Yeah, you do not want to overwater this one because it doesn't like wet feet. And so this will have to be in somewhere where you maybe planted it in an area that you can't get nothing to grow. It will do great. It'll do amazing in that area.
And the variety that we decided to grow is the Orange Glow.
Yes.
And so you'll have that orange up against green foliage.
Very bright and vivid.
Very bright and vivid.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm excited about it.
Next, we have Dianthus. Yeah, I love Dianthus. This is actually one of my favorite flowers. Okay,
you take it.
Well, can I nerd out? Dianthus is one of my favorite. It is probably my favorite flower. So another word for this is carnation is the one we most commonly hear. It is a carnation. But there's different kinds of Dianthus. So you have, you know, like a single flower, or you have like double flowering Dianthus, which is usually the carnations you get in the store.
And don't be confused. Some Dianthus are annual and some are perennial. We're only talking about the perennial Dianthus.
This is true. Very, very true. So these are great. They make a great blanket. The reason, some backdrop on Dianthus. So Dianthus actually was named after the Greek goddess Diana.
Oh, I thought it was Princess Diane.
Well, Dia,
I'm messing with
is for Greek for like Dios, which is gods. And then you have Anthus, which is flowers, which is a Greek word for flowers.
No way.
Yes.
We have a god flower?
Well, that's what they were calling it. So they actually used to use this at the Greek goddess Diana's shrines. And they would dedicate this as like an offering or whatever to her. But I love the flower. I just had to find out the backdrop story to this.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
This has been cultivated for over 2,000 years. So about right before Christ's time, this had started getting cultivated around the same time. And so this is such a beautiful flower. There's so many different varieties because it is a really, really older flower. So many different varieties, like the coral reef. Coral reef is one of my favorite varieties of this because it has a beautiful coral color and a little bit of streaking through the petals. This also grows in a nice ground cover, and then you just get overwhelmed with flowers in the spring, and then on through the summer, you'll get little specks of flowers here and there just popping up out of nowhere. It is a beautiful, beautiful flower.
Most of them would be fragrant as well.
Very. So you will be planting these, they will let you know they're there. Yeah. You will
they're
never
nice
forget
along
where
a
these
walkway.
Are in the garden.
Yeah, you can actually smell them along a walkway.
Yes.
And that's what a lot of people do is just line their walkway with them.
The best floral scent.
Little border.
Absolutely.
Or in front of a garden, you can put it to where it doesn't get too tall. Because they only get like 8 to 10 inches tall.
Yeah, depending on the variety. We have some varieties that get up only about 4 to 5 inches tall, like your Frosty Blue or Red Garnet. Those ones are great. They don't get very tall. And then we also have some that are more of the upright that grow about a foot tall. Mm-hmm. So,
all right, I want to talk about Echinacea, coneflower.
Yeah, okay.
That's one of my favorite. Once again, the coneflower can take the hot, hot, hot sun.
Plant it and forget about it.
Yes. The one thing it can't tolerate is wet feet. So if you have that area to where it's just burning, burning sun, Echinacea, the coneflower, is the one for you.
Plant it with the ice plant.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Planet with the ice plant.
Oh, that's a very good
yeah.
idea.
Yeah, yeah. Those are great for areas, again, that you can't reach a garden hose out to, but you want some color?
Yes.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Some of our favorites that we'll have is like the Cheyenne Spirit. It's one of my favorite because it's a mixed color. It's a multicolored flower, actually. And it's from the Indian varieties. You'll have mm-hmm. your orange, your yellow, and a little bit of red in the same flower. So the Cheyenne Spirit's a really, really cool one.
Now, you say from the Indian varieties. Yeah. Now, what's amazing about Echinacea is it is native. It comes here from North America. This is where Echinacea originated from. Echinacea coneflower comes here from North America.
We actually get it from the Indians yeah. because it has a lot of medicinal purposes.
Yes, they used to use it for tooth pains, yeah. Infections, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. But we sell it for the flower.
Yeah.
That's how shallow we yeah, are.
We do.
Some of the other varieties of Echinacea, we have the double scoop watermelon. Yeah, that's pretty
cool. That is beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, it's a double flowered Echinacea, and that's why I like this one. Anytime that you can get a double flower, it has a big show.
Yeah, it has a fluffy cone on it. So yep. rather than that bumpy brown cone, this has a fluffy red cone on it, mm-hmm. and then those beautiful double flowering petals around that.
All right, and then the Kismet Red, I like the Kismet Red. It is a Terra Nova variety, which they're pretty much big. Anytime you have a Terra Nova, you know it's good. It's a large red flower, mm-hmm. and so it's once again, it's very compact and it's sturdy, and the red is a very vivid, vibrant red, yes. and that's why I like the Kismet Red. And then there's yellow, pow-pow. One of my favorite. This came out a few years ago, and the powwow has been so good. It's not a new variety, but it's a variety that's actually very hard to get. That's why I always have my order in early
yeah.
to guarantee that we get it, because there's been years that we didn't get it, and that's just way too upsetting.
Well, the powwow is also resistant to powdery mildew
yes, that's
and
very
things
important.
Of that sort. So if you do have to plant it in maybe a wetter area, the powwow is will mm-hmm. do great for that because it's not going to get the powdery mildew.
And the wild berry one is a purple
yeah.
and purple burgundy. And it doesn't fade.
Yeah.
No matter how hot it gets, you will still have that purple burgundy bloom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's yeah. why I like the wild berry.
Love that.
All right, what do we have next? Oh, we have more Echinacea. Apparently, I like it.
Oh, the salmon. That's a really good one. It's a beautiful yep. salmon color.
You like that one.
I love that one. So that one gets about, let's see here, 18 to 24 inches.
All of them pretty much get the same, 18 yeah. to 24 inches, which is a perfect height. That's not too big. It's not too short.
Yeah.
18 to 24 is really good for a backdrop, or if you have some tall perennials or shrubs in the back, it will really be a very good forefront to any evergreen shrubbery that you have.
Yeah, and it does mature as the bloom goes on. It mm-hmm. kind of spends to like a pale pink. So you do get some different coloring in that salmon. Echinacea.
My favorite is the Fiesta Orange.
Oh, that's a good
one. I love orange.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I do. I love orange in the landscape. It just draws the eye.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sure does.
Okay. You were talking about Gaylardia?
Blanket flower.
Yeah, baby. I love
it. Oh, this is a yep. great one.
Yeah. Once again, it will tolerate the heat. I love those summer perennials that will tolerate the heat.
Yeah, it's in the Rudbeckia family.
Yeah, what's yeah. the point if it doesn't tolerate the heat?
Yes. Blanket flower, it's beautiful. Even after the flower spins, it's like a little puffball.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a beautiful flower. It always has interest throughout the season. And you get a whole bunch of different shades from yellow to bicolor, yellow, red.
Yes.
Which
really makes it stand out. Anytime that you have red and yellow in the same flower, I call it my headlight plant.
Yeah.
Because you can see that sucker forever.
Now, the reason it's called blanket flowers because it spreads out rather than just growing more of an upright, larger plant like yeah. your Rudbeckias or Echinacea does. And so, which one is the spin top mango? Yep. The spin top mango.
That's one you picked out.
Yes, it is. So your spin top mango, it has that yellow and orange kind of bicolor in it. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful one, but it just gets what I really liked about it is we planted it last year in the back flower bed, and it just mounded over and kind of took up an area, and it was really nice to see it kind of mm-hmm. Dominate that little area.
Then you have your red starburst, which is a yellow flower at the red center. And all of these Gaylardias, the nice thing is they only get about 8 to 12 inches tall. So once again, if you you could plant your dianthus there, and then you could plant your gay flower, Gaylardia, and then behind that you can plant your echinacea. All three of those will take the full hot burning sun.
Yeah.
So I mean, and what's really cool is that you can make an orchestra out of your regular gardening bed. Something will be blooming all the time.
You know, we're also going to add on to that list of things that are great drought tolerant. You can plant, leave alone, maybe water through really heavy drought. Mm-hmm. Would be helianthus.
Oh,
it is a sunflower.
So, yes, I look. Okay, this one,
the Mexican sunflower. Go for it. Yeah.
Well, we grow the suncatcher, and the reason why I like the helianthus is that they have big. Big blooms, they'll be about 4 inches wide, and it's the perfect yellow that you'll ever see. It's a great cut flower. You can cut them and yes, bring them into the home.
Oh, yeah.
Put them in water.
Bright, vivid, vivid yellow.
Yeah, you can have a bouquet all summer long inside your home.
And it'll just keep going and going and going. The more sun and heat we get, the better it does.
Yes.
So one of those that keeps going. And then we have Heliopsis, which is false sunflower. So pretty similar to the helianthus.
Yes.
But this is a false sunflower. It's not technically a sunflower. It's more of a cone flower.
Right.
But
it still has that daisy-like flower head.
Yes. Yeah. That beautiful yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So then we have, let's get back into the shade. Ooh. We talked about the astilbe being good for shade.
Yeah.
Mixed in with hosta.
Yeah.
And so now we have the Heucheras.
Coral bell.
Once again, one of his favorites. Coral bell.
So this is awesome. I love the coral bell. We like to use it a lot for shade gardeners or shaded landscapes just because it's a great way. Again, you can get color. If you have a shady area, you don't have to settle for just green. Mm-hmm. You do not have to settle for just green plants.
Some of your chair will be purple.
Yeah.
I go for the foliage, and the flowers is just a bonus.
Yeah.
Because I mix them in with other shade plants like the hosta. So you have purple heuchera, you have green heuchera, you have chartreuse heuchera.
Yeah.
And so I go by the leaf a lot because then you have what you look for is color in the shady area. And so that's why I focus more on the color, and the bloom is just a bonus.
Now, your bigger leaf varieties tend to do a little bit more if you have wetter areas or areas that get a little bit soggy. But if you have well drainage, the smaller leaf varieties do super well, and they have a flower. My favorite is Blondie because it has a yellow flower.
Yeah.
It's different. It's totally different. Yeah. It has a yellow blonde flower that comes up off of it in the spring, spring to early summer. But the coloring on it is just impeccable. It's this red and kind of this caramel color undertone. It's a really great one.
And most of them will only grow about 8 to 15 inches. So they don't get too tall. It's pretty much a clump of color.
Yes.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is great.
Yep. Hibiscus.
Okay.
We got three varieties of hibiscus this year. Last year we did, for some reason, we only had one variety, and I was really disappointed over it. I think it was just a brain fart on my part. But this year we're having three different varieties, and so we spent time on it. My favorite would be the Starry Night. It has a dark purple foliage, and it has pale pink flowers, which are darker with the darker pink veining. So it's almost like a two-tone pink. And anytime that you have that really deep vein into a light one, that the bloom is just awesome.
Now, just to clarify real quick, these are hardy perennial hibiscus.
You.
So you mainly have like your three varieties. You have your tropical, the ones that you find at most garden centers, with those really bright colors.
They will not come back.
They will not. Unless a lot of people winter them over in the garage or something. But if they're outside, they will not come back. You also have the Rose of Sharon or Althea.
Right.
And so those varieties as well, those are also really, really hardy. Now, what we're talking about is the perennial hibiscus. It is categorized as true hibiscus. Mm-hmm. Now, these have those big dinner plate flowers.
Yep.
And last year we hadn't cared them for a season for some reason or another. And so last year we got them back in, and they had these huge flowers. As soon as you pulled up to the nursery, it was the only thing you saw in the back.
Yep.
Beautiful.
And your perennial hibiscus, they'll grow about 36 to 48 inches tall, 3 foot to 4 foot. So give it room to grow.
Mm-hmm.
They're extremely hardy. And I tell you what, I don't care where you put them, they will be seen.
Yeah, and they do like it. Also, they do great with some drier, but they really, really love wetter areas. So if you do have a soggy area in your landscape or maybe somewhere where there's a hole in the irrigation, mm-hmm. you can throw those there. They'll do just fine.
All right. Into the eyes, Iberia sempervirens.
Yeah, candy tough.
Yes. That and actually is it is tough. Candy tough is one of those perennials that will bloom before anything else. It's white, pure white.
And it is a native.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It is a native, yeah.
Yeah. So I like the candy tough. It is, it's extremely hardy, and it comes every year, whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Irises. We need to talk about the Batik iris. This is one of my personal favorites.
Yeah.
It has a very, very dark, bluish, tinge purple, dark blue flower to it.
Mm-hmm.
Look, with irises, a lot of the times the irises do not perform as they do on the card, meaning, you know, have a really nice picture, but when you grow it, it's kind of faded and you're not really liking it. I really like this variety of the Batik variety. It's a Germanica, and the intensity of the blue is just phenomenal. So, you know, irises do not last that long, so if you're going to grow them, grow nice ones.
Yeah, no kidding. Last year, we looked like iris kings, and some of the varieties that we had last year turned out to be rebloomers. So they shocked us, and they kept putting blooms on, and we were like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Later find out they were some rebloomers. But Neptune's Wine, this variety that we're getting this year, it's a beautiful, deep red, burgundy wine color, but it has these little strips of gold coming through the petal. It is a bearded iris, so it does have the laying down bearded petals, but it is a beautiful one. We also have the black iris. I forget what was the name on that one. This one's from last season.
Oh, yeah, we have a lot of irises from last year
because
we grew
beautiful varieties.
Yeah, we grew a lot of irises.
Yes,
and the nice thing is that they overwinter in the pot. And the proof is in the pudding. If we can keep it alive above the ground in a pot, you can surely keep
hardy.
It alive.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way we prove a lot of our perennials, because you would think that we'd take the perennials that are left over from last year,
yes.
put them in the greenhouse and keep them at 70 degrees. Nope. They're out there frozen rock solid, you know, in that negative 17 or whatever.
Yeah. So one, just a little backdrop story. One year I was working on my mother's property. We were digging up irises, and we had a whole bunch of spare left over because they had sat there for years. It was time to split them up, get some new blooms out of them.
They'll bloom more if you split them up.
Well, we had our little scraps and just this pile of leaves and stuff, and we just threw it off into the woods. Well, they took root.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
yeah.
We literally threw them off into the woods, and they took root.
That's awesome.
And she's still got them growing around her deck area. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Popping up.
Can't kill an iris.
No.
No.
No, no, no. Actually, daffodils and irises, that's how people would find old homesteads or wells or old chimneys and things like that. They would look for where irises were planted and daffodils, because they're so long-lived. Once you plant them, they'll still be there years and years and years and years later.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yep. And even after the home is gone, you'll still have the daffodil. Didn't you just place a bulb order?
I did. I did place a bulb order. We'll have some decent stuff coming in. Yeah. And so sent that over to...
Tune in next week.
To our people, yeah.
Okay, I want to talk about lavender. Lavendula.
Lavendula.
Mm-hmm. We kind of touched on this last week with Joanne when we were talking about stuff that you could plant in your walkway and make your house smell good, right?
Yes, yeah.
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 So we went heavy on lavender because... It's one of our number one sellers.
Again, plant it. It doesn't want a whole lot of water at all.
Right. You just pretty much plant it and leave it alone.
The more drought it does, for some reason, the better it does.
So if you're terrible at watering, lavender would be perfect for you.
Yeah.
And what's really nice about lavender is it smells good. So you can bring it into the home as well and make your house smell good. Now, the varieties that we have, there's one called Big Time Blue. Now, this is a newer variety. It gets about 12 to 24 inches.
Now, we grew that one last year, and it was...
It flew out.
Yeah. So, all of the lavender...
That's right. And I thought it sold so fast, I thought we didn't order it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
No, you're exactly right. So, we were... you came out, and you go... Did we not order? It was salvia, Russian sage, and lavender.
Yeah.
Those three sold so fast. He comes out one day and he goes, did we not order this? I said, no.
I didn't order enough.
We ordered a lot of it and we had potted it up and it just boom, 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 boom.
So. And they also have a big time blue and white combo. It's a blue flower with white in it. And that's new. We didn't have it last year.
What was the name of that one again?
Blue and white combo.
Blue and white combo.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we didn't have it last year. And I think that that's going to be a humdinger this year.
Yeah.
Then we also have your normal Hickok blue. Hickok has the purple flowers, and the Munstead will have your blue flowers.
Yes.
Those are mainstays.
Yep.
Been around for...
They ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
They ain't going anywhere.
For like ever.
Yeah. The Munstead lavender, that's my favorite. All of these you can use for whatever you want to use them for. They're lavender. But the Munstead, that's probably my favorite to use. We make lavender syrup.
You put that in our vegetable garden.
Yes, I did. It's also a great companion plant. So this will scare off a lot of bugs, pests, and diseases, believe it or not. So great companion plant to put next to anything in your garden. Also brings in really good pollinators. So wherever you're planting this, this is going to attract those pollinators. Last year around our garden, we put tuberosa, lavender, butterfly bush. We put also Monarda. We put Monarda, all planted a wall around our vegetable garden just because the pollination, you know, brings in all those pollinators. It's also a beautiful show we get to watch when we see hummingbirds coming up and bees and butterflies. So
I think it really did a very good service on our tomato plants because we had more tomatoes than you shake stick at.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had more pollination. I mean, our beans, oh, my word.
Beans were taken over.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was an invasion.
It was that Blue Lake bush.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the best bean, by the way. I'm just telling you right now.
Tastes really good, grows really well.
And and you don't have to, it's not a vine, it's a bush. And just, we need to do a show on vegetables.
Well, we had vines too, and it was an invasion.
Yeah.
We had way more beans than we could ever want. So
yeah, I know we still have them. Uh-huh. All right, we need to get back to our perennials. We will do a show on vegetables, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll be seeding here soon.
Okay. Yep. Oh, man. All right, let's finish the L. She's telling us that we're out of time. Lucanthemum. Lucanthemum's one of my favorites, always has been.
Shasta Daisy. Oh, yeah.
Shasta Daisy. The Becky is one of my favorite. It has that 4-inch flower, yellow. Big yellow center, and then it has the white petals around it. It's double flowered, and Becky is one of my all-time favorite. Very good cut flower, kind of like we talked about with the Echinacea and the others. Just bring it inside, and it gives you a bouquet all summer long.
Yeah. Now, Becky is also really cold hardy. It's also now Shasta daisies or daisies in general are deer resistant. They're drought tolerant and they can handle some shade. Mm-hmm. And so if it's on the east side, you can still plant the Shasta daisy and be fine.
We're having a new variety that we've never had. It's an AAS award winner, the Sweet Daisy Rebecca. It looks just like the Becky, which I really like. But it has the daisy-like double-fringed white petals. So we're going to try that.
Yes. Yeah. Kind of frilly flower.
Yeah. We like the picture. It looked good in the picture.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
The real sunbeam, I think that's a yellow one, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Deep gold yellow.
Yep.
And so there. Hey, we got through all the way to the through the L's.
We were almost to Nepeta.
Yeah.
Catmint.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
So we'll be doing M on next week. So please tune in.
Yeah. So, hey, thank you so much for watching the show. If you have any questions about anything we talked about today, feel free to comment, or you could go to rockwellfarms.com and email us. And we do answer those on the show. We really do care about your gardening experience and want to help others.
I think this is a good show.
Yeah, this is great.
I just wanted to promote some of the perennials that people can plant. And so thank you for joining us.
All right. Well, thanks. We'll talk to you next time.